Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Open Systems Publishing eCast, entitled IMS and the IP Network. As we all know, that the core network infrastructure is moving from a circuit-switched network to an IP network. An important part of that is the whole IMS IP multimedia subsystem. Today, we've got two speakers, very qualified speakers, to talk about IMS and the IP network. The first, Howard Glasman from GE Fanuc Embedded Systems, is going to tell us about using AMCs, advanced mezzanine cards, as modular building blocks for IMS and IP networks. And the second speaker today is Alon Weisman from Cirrus Communications, and he's going to further go into details about IMS, the IP network, and how you can use AMCs. So without further ado, I would like to do a little housekeeping. There is a button on the lower left of your screen that allows you to post a question. These will automatically queue up, and at the end of Alon's talk, we will open up the floor for Q&A. I'll moderate the Q&A session. So if you've got questions for either of these two gentlemen, I encourage you to hit that button and post the question online. We'll try to prioritize them and get through them after the second speaker. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Howard Glasman from GE Fanuc to talk about using AMCs. Howard?
Thanks, Joe. Today, good afternoon to everyone. Today we're going to talk about a number of different areas that relate to IMS and IP networks. For folks who are not familiar with the term IMS, it stands for IP Multimedia Systems. This is the concept of convergent applications around voice, internet, data, video, wireless, all working in harmony over a single network infrastructure. We're going to talk about it from the standpoint of using open modular communication systems to design these network elements for next generation communications. We're going to talk about where these modular components fit in these networks. We're going to highlight the area of next-generation packet processing applications, since these networks are IP-based, using the Internet Protocol, and packets are the key to exploiting and tapping the capabilities on these networks. We're going to show some examples of applications utilizing packet processing modules. One is going to be an ATCA modular application blade using AMCs, and then we're going to show that application migrating to the new compact micro TCA platform, what AMCs would be required and software. Then we'll summarize the presentation. First, I'd like to just introduce GE Fanuc Embedded Systems. I'm sure all of you know GE, and maybe even GE Fanuc on the automation side. The Embedded Systems Group is involved with COTS computing and communication products that we sell across a broad spectrum of markets, including defense, aerospace, telecom, medical and industrial automation. We focus on high-quality, quick-to-market systems, and we spend a lot of time participating in the open standards organizations like PICMIG, where the ATCA, micro TCA, and AMT specifications have been designed and ratified. Also, there's a new group of organizations that has been underway that's pretty exciting in the area of test and interoperability, the CPTA organization, and another organization called the Scope Alliance, which is a group of telecommunications equipment manufacturers that have gotten together in an unprecedented fashion to develop a set of common requirements and architectures that the ecosystem vendors can design products for. That way, when you design products, they can meet the needs of not just a single customer, but of a whole market segment. Okay, so let's start talking about this. I mean, the key trends, as we all know, with regard to what's driving this whole convergence of network infrastructure is that folks are getting broadband access. And with broadband access, there's greater demands on the network for more bandwidth, for more processing capabilities. The intelligence of the network is being distributed out to the edge, so new services can appear overnight. And probably the key factor that's driving this is this whole concept of seamless mobility, services on the go, whether you're looking for your phone, your internet, your email, or even TV, that when you're mobile, you have the ability to take your virtual office with you. And that's really at the core of what's driving building this new IMS infrastructure and the term fixed mobile convergence, or taking your wireline network and your wireless network and bringing them together with these different access networks with a common platform that allows them to communicate. And holding this all together is the concept of packets, and that everything that's transpiring along these convergent networks are IP packets. So you're just seeing a hypergrowth in the traffic and scalability requirements for these next generation networks, and it all revolves around IP packet processing. So where do these building blocks fit in these next generation networks? I mean, if we were to design next generation systems using advanced TCA and micro TCA platforms, what type of devices are we building? Well, at the core of the network, you're building devices that have to be highly scalable, that need redundant capabilities, need significant processing scalability like soft switches and like media resource processors and different types of media gateways. As you move down to the access and edge portions of the networks, you have a need for more compact platforms like micro TCA. They might be WiMAX base stations or IPPBX equipment or convergent carrier-grade Ethernet access and aggregation devices. So what you can see is that there's multiple needs within the next generation network, both for IMS and for the edge of the IP network, the access devices, for new devices utilizing these open platforms. So these next generation platforms are based on ATCA and micro TCA, which is pretty much a compact version of ATCA, taking advantage of a lot of the technical and specification capabilities that were initially designed into ATCA systems. And at the core of this is this concept of the advanced MC, which originally started out as a daughter card, and has basically taken on its own personality as a mini blade. With the advent of micro TCA, these mini blades or advanced MC building blocks can plug directly into the micro TCA backplane. So you can scale all the way from a micro TCA system all the way up using a carrier blade to ATCA systems. And that really translates to some of the power in the economics and leverage that you have once you start designing with these next-generation carrier-grade COTS building blocks. Just the ability to quickly scale a portfolio using this common set of building blocks. These advanced MCs were designed for the next generation of applications. They have enhanced thermal budgets, high-speed serial connectivity and fabrics, built-in RASM capabilities in the form of high availability and through hot swap, and they're an open standard sponsored by the PICNIC group. In addition, they give you a very modular, low-cost way to do technology refresh, whether it's IO refresh or compute refresh. And what we see transpiring is a very strong ecosystem of companies that are building these modular building blocks and platforms for next-generation communication networks. So this concept of scalability, to scale up and down using this common set of building blocks, which use the same operating system, drivers, diagnostics, and managements, is a very powerful incentive for folks to take advantage of this new technology and architecture. When you utilize the AMCs in an ATCA platform or system, you use them using what's called a carrier blade. A carrier blade can have up to 4 AMC sites on a blade that allows you in a very modular fashion to build application-specific systems offering the benefits that I previously spoke about. We're going to talk about these AMC modules, and this particular module is a new module that's designed exclusively for multi-gigabit packet processing using a state-of-the-art multi-core silicon processor from a company called Cavium. It's called the Octeon processor. This particular AMC has the ability to do fiber or copper on the front panel up to 4 ports and deep packet inspection all the way up through layer 7. So you can provide very sophisticated packet processing capabilities in a low-cost, easy-to-use module. Let's just talk about some of the applications that packet processing would satisfy. As folks build these next-generation IP networks, there's a number of requirements in the areas of security and traffic management and content monitoring that all need to be satisfied in designing this next-generation equipment. Here you see a wide variety of capabilities that these packet processing modules can satisfy. Signal and data or media encryption, content scanning for security, unified threat management, standard traffic management for scaling convergent voice and media signaling, traffic management for convergent 3G mobile telephony, real-time mediation and billing for managing video and content on an IP video network, just the ability to classify packet flows in real time for network monitoring or archiving, and, of course, VoIP security for lawful intercept inspection of real-time traffic. So as you can see, there's a wide variety of applications that this single building block can satisfy. Let's talk about how you'd go about designing these types of systems. Here's an example of a ATCA carrier blade. In the picture, it shows 2 AMC sites being populated by the MPA 3804, which is the multi-gigabit packet processor. As you use this carrier, it becomes the data plane security blade for a next-generation session border controller utilizing the ATCA platform for designing these systems. The control plane is handled on a separate CPU blade that might consist of, say, for example, dual Intel Xeons. This allows you to very quickly, in a modular fashion, upgrade the data plane scalability. You might start off with an AMC that would allow the ability to, say, process 4 gigabits of full duplex traffic on each AMC. As you scale the network, you can easily provide a technology upgrade for these AMCs to 10 gigabits in the next generation and provide up to 20 gigabits of packet processing capabilities or 10 and 10 redundancy on a simple AMC carrier. So it shows some of the power in using these modules to design these next generation applications. In addition, you could have one of these NPA modules providing traffic management. Another module could provide real-time decryption or encryption capabilities. These same building blocks, which would utilize standard Linux operating system drivers, diagnostics, and management could then be utilized in a micro TCA platform. This is the whole concept of software reuse, utilizing the same modules and to be able to design either a scalable product platform or even a new application. This shows you the session border controller in a redundant configuration on a micro TCA platform using the network processor, which is shown as the packet processor with four front panel ports on the left-hand portion of the graphic, and processor AMCs with onboard storage to complete the session border controller configuration. That way, your processor AMCs can handle the control plane traffic while your packet processor handles the data plane and encryption requirements of the design. This shows you how easily it is to utilize this modular concept to build next-generation IMS devices. Let's talk a little bit about the software that's required. Along with designing the hardware modules using COTS platforms, a number of software companies are starting to provide full platforms of control plane and data plane software that can be utilized off the shelf for designing these applications. As you can see, there's fairly robust software requirements, for example, for a session border controller, which would require the ability to handle both the IPv4 and V6 protocol stacks, different types of layer 2 and tunneling capabilities, layer 3 forwarding and quality of service aggregation, signaling and media encryption, using security protocols like IPsec and secure RTP, real-time stateful firewalls and NAT transversal, signaling control and communication using SIP and diameter, which is a key control protocol for the IMS architecture, security pin holding for signaling and media, different types of DPI security for billing records, session logging, and lawful intercept. This software can either be designed by the customer or in many cases is available from the software ecosystem that is evolving in the marketplace. I'd like to mention another application, again using similar IP building blocks, but to design a completely different application. This is a convergent media gateway. Why it's convergent is not only does it have the ability to handle VoIP IP traffic, which could be brought in using the network processor, of which you could use to either decrypt or encrypt the traffic, but it also handles legacy T1 and E1 TDM traffic, utilizing an open protocol called ITDM. ATCA and micro TCA systems architectures do not have the capability to support a virtual TDM bus today. So there's a specification, open specification from PCMIG called the System Fabric Plane, or SFP, which allows you to take in TDM traffic and packetize it over a standard Ethernet switching fabric, utilizing an open protocol. This is completely compliant with standard Layer 2 Ethernet headers and MPLS fabrics, which are standard in the Ethernet carrier-grade world. Once the ITDM traffic is brought into the T1 E1 card, it needs to be sent to a voice processing resource, which allows you to do things like transcode the voice signals or source different types of media applications. The one we're showing you here is from Surf Communications. This is their SurfRider AMC, and I'm sure you'll be hearing more about it a little later on from Surf. And this particular AMC also supports ITDM, so it can depacketize the ITDM traffic in real time and provide media processing resources to this traffic. In addition, the Surf AMC also has the ability to do not only voice capabilities, but video capabilities too. So this shows you the ability to use these same building blocks, the same network processor, and the same processor AMC for control plane to design another network element that would be utilized in an IMS network. We're talking about designing systems using modular building blocks, so you would need a wide variety of building blocks to design these systems with. GE Fanuc has introduced probably the broadest product line of AMCs available on the market, including processor AMCs based on Intel and PowerPC architectures, LAN Ethernet AMCs, T1E1, DS3, and OC3 and OC12 optical and interworking AMCs, high-speed packet processors and storage cards. We've even introduced a GPS clocking card for network synchronization. I'd like to thank you very much for joining me today, and I'd like to turn this back over to Joe.
Thank you, Howard. That was very instructional. I guess you can never be too rich or too thin or have too much bandwidth or too much memory. Our second and last speaker today is Alon Wiseman, who's coming to us tonight from Haifa. He's in Europe, or in Israel to be more specific. Ilan's from Surf Communication, and he's going to delve in a little deeper into AMCs and some of the issues associated with designing IMS and IP networks. So, Ilan, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you all for joining us today. We're going to discuss how to leverage ATCA to the IMS architecture and start first from the market perspective. So voice is becoming a commodity, and the revenue from voice services are dropping constantly. The new candidates as a killer application are YouTube-like mobile video sharing or mobile TV that enable you to watch to get a set-top box experience on a mobile phone. But the next killer application is not yet been discovered. So in order to find it, the operator need ways to launch new services quickly while minimizing the R&D and the CapEx cost. One way to achieve this is to make the infrastructure reusable by leveraging the same hardware components and software components for different services. And this is known as the horizontal model of the IMS architecture. Going to talk a little bit more about it on the next slide. From the TEMS perspective, the telecom equipment manufacturers, sometimes called the NEPs, network equipment providers, that are one level deeper in the ecosystem, several TEMS have recently undergone the mega mergers like Nokia Siemens and Alcatel-Lucent, and the incentive for those mergers is to provide the operator with an end-to-end solution and be able to manage their network from A to Z. This service is called the managed network. They too are focusing on delivering new services and want to spend less time and effort on developing a hardware component. The COTS approach, or the commercially off-the-shelf approach, is ideal and enable them to focus on the real differentiator, which are the services, the actual multimedia services. Though this forecast was prepared back in 2005, the trend depicted is still very relevant, and you can clearly see that in-house development is shrinking. And the COTS approach that is represented in this chart by the ATCA and AMC on the purple color is growing constantly. Just as a comment, the in-house development also includes a compact PCI that is made proprietary by design changes. As we as self-witness via our customer, Japan is leading the ATCA adoption and is followed by the U.S., while the Europeans are lagging a bit behind on the adoption of the ATCA. From a different angle, we can clearly see that IMS is catching up and is forecasted to be $4.5 billion market by 2010. Note that the video sharing application popularity is forecasted to triple from 2007 through 2010. Okay, so ATCA. ATCA is designed by the carrier for the carriers, meaning that that this is a huge effort with over 100 companies participating in defining this PGMIC standard. It incorporates high-speed interconnect technologies like today 1 gig Ethernet, and later on there are already a new product introduced with 10 gig Ethernet, serial rapid I/O, PCI Express, and more interfaces. It features improvements in reliability and manageability and serviceability for redundancy and for high availability that is required by the operators. It is designed for high density, for high channel density and multimedia processing. So coming back to the horizontal model of the ATCA, of the IMS, the ATCA is a perfect match for the IMS horizontal model of separating the transport, the control, and the application plane and performing media processing in a shared component. SERF is already involved in design of IMS components like session border controllers, as Howard mentioned, and MRF or media resource function that are based on ATCA platform. But not only on the transport plane, also on the control plane, ATCA is used for signaling gateway and control other control functions. So what is the advantage of ATCA? Basically, every TEM can build their own ATCA ecosystem by selecting from a variety of vendors. Standard hardware is available from leading vendors like Motorola, Intel, GE Fanuc, SERF Communication in the DSP, for various components, as also Howard went through some of the AMC offering, processing, storage, I/O blades, all the necessary components to build a system. From the software perspective, the carrier-grade Linux is the most popular operating system on the ATCA, either as an open source or in commercial distributions like WindRiver. Of course, there's the middleware, the high availability middleware coming from SAF, which is the Service Availability Forum, or from Go Ahead, or from other vendors. And standard signaling and control protocol stacks, the most common protocol for the IMS is the SIP, other protocols are also used on different components of the system, like JSR 309 or H.248. So, how to leverage the ATCA in the ecosystem? Well, interoperability is key. Each TEM can conduct their own plugfest and select few sources for every component. You know, Compact PCI started as a standard, but has become a basis for what we call proprietary COTS, which is basically a COTS that's gone through some changes and is now proprietary. ATCA is a more robust and telecom-oriented standard, and it's less likely that it will happen, that ATCA will go through the way that Compact PCI went. IP-based control protocols such as SIP allow avoidance of proprietary APIs and open up the ecosystem so the components can talk to each other via standard protocols. The IPDM, as Howard mentioned, standard utilize the legacy TDM infrastructure and transfer TDM signals over over packet-based backplane using standard Ethernet for media gateways or session border controllers and so on. As a result, the TEM are able to mix and match among best-of-breed components like line cards, like DSPs, like processing blades, and so on. So I'm going to skip those two slides and go back to them. And show you a little example of a sample configuration for an MRF, which is a media resource function, or called in today's terminology a media server. And this also could be in the same configuration could be used as a media gateway application. In this example, we're using the following components, like the GE FANUC Telum AMC card that Howard mentioned, that is able to have up to 8 E1s or T1 per single AMC and support the ITDM. We're using the SURF AMC DSP resource board for voice, video, and data processing with high density and scalability, comparing to an HMP approach. HMP stands for host media processing, and using a Motorola CPU AMC to run the media gateway application. Of course, there are standard components like switch and storage for running the application. Digging deeper to the AMC DSP resource board, the SURF Rider AMC can host up to 8 C64 TI DSP, the cutting edge DSP from Texas Instruments, like C6455, also called Himalaya, and the soon to be released C6486, which is a multi-core DSP. It's pre-integrated and tested for interoperability with ITDM-enabled line cards like the Telum from GE FANUC and others, and with ATCA carriers like Motorola, Contron, Interphase, and so on. It includes comprehensive media processing software suite to develop telecom applications like video conferencing and IVVR over converged network like TDM, WLAN, and wireless. It allows a mix of DSP type on the same board for maximum cost effectiveness. Now I'm going to skip back to the concluding slide and look at the benefits of the ATCA to the operators. So fast deployment of new services, reuse of equipment, and less spare parts result in significant cost reduction. Easier network evolution, for example, migrating from SS7 to SIP or from TDM to IP, supports the replacement of minimum number of components, like changing AMCs or a single ATCA blade, rather than replacing the entire system as in a vertical model that exists today. The high power budget per blade, up to 200 watts per ATCA blade, enable high density systems that save rack space, and this all leads to a reduced total cost of ownership. From the TEM, the benefits to the TEMs, they can enjoy all the advantages of ATCA costs, such as development risk reduction, because the components are already made and tested, second source, and supply chain flexibility. The ATCA is actually biasing the make or buy questions toward the buy side, by enabling the team to focus on service creation and delivery rather than on developing their own hardware. The ATCA is gaining acceptance, and the team can benefit from the ecosystem economy of scale and have multiple vendors, wide component offering, and progressively lower cost. And this concludes my part, and back to you, Joe.
Thanks, Alon. High power, reduced development time, reduced development cost, more reuse, those are all very good things. I'd like to let the audience know that we're going to begin the question and answer session now. Before I do that, the archive of this event will be posted in a couple of hours at the URL that you have just seen. Also, there'll be a little summary questionnaire that if you would be so kind as to fill out, that'll help us in making these presentations better in the future. So we've got a number of questions from the audience. I'll ask a few of them. Here's a very basic one. One of our listeners said, I came in late, what is COTS? Well, I'll take a crack at that and then let Alon and Howard answer. COTS is a much overused term that originally began used by military procurers. It stands for commercial off the shelf. It was the idea that was really started by then Secretary of Defense Richard Perry during the Clinton administration to reduce the need of all the things that the military bought being full custom. So commercial off the shelf was a move towards buying things that are commercially available for which the customer does not pay the development cost and can be ordered as catalog items. So that's my definition of COTS, but it's often overused. You guys care to make a comment?
Joe, I think that's a good description.
Much abused. here's an interesting question. Howard, you mentioned briefly ITDM, and you did it as well, Alon, and SFP, those two specs. Could you compare and contrast them and explain how they're a little bit different?
This is Howard. The specification is called the System Fabric Plane Specification, of which ITDM is one of the protocols that can be supported under that specification. So it's the ITDM is basically a special, almost like a header within that specification, of which you could swap that out and utilize a different protocol with a different header. So it's almost ITDM is a subset of the System Fabric Plane. And basically, if you want to look at this protocol, the System Fabric Plane is 8 bytes in a standard Ethernet packet. So it's a standard Ethernet packet, which would consist of, you know, starting on the left-hand side, you know, the Layer 2 header, then the MPLS header, then there's a timestamp, and then there's going to be this 8-byte SFP header. And that's broken into two parts. One is a standard SFP, and one is this ITDM layer. So you can swap out that ITDM layer to change protocols. Alon, anything else you might want to add to that?
No, I think that was a good definition.
Okay. Here's a question, a housekeeping question that just came in. Where to download the slides for the first speaker? Again, in a few hours, they'll be archived. Everyone that's participating in the event that registered will get an email notification of that archive site. It'll also be shown a slide here when we finish. So both speakers, both Alon and Howard's presentations will be available in a few hours. Here's two for you, Alon. Here's a general one. What are the benefits of using DSPs for voice and video processing as opposed to other types, processor types?
Okay, the other approach I mentioned is called HMP. This is host media processing. This is basically processing the video on a host platform that is usually a Pentium-based computer. And in some cases, processing the voice on a DSP card. So this the other approach is what Surf is proposing is a single platform and doing the voice, the video, and also data like fax and modem on the same platform, on the same DSP. I think part of the advantages are clear. It's a unified platform. It's the same. It's easy resource management and easy programming interface. And also from density and from performance point of view, on the higher density, the DSP is superior to a host processing. The HMP approach, on the other hand, I must say that there's availability of much more codecs, but on the other hand, the standard operating system in real-time processing is less recommended.
Here's another specific one for you, Alon. For the SURF DSP AMC card, what's the typical power dissipation in watts and watts per square inch? Very detailed.
Okay,
question.
So yeah,
if you have those at hand.
Well, the AMC standards define the budget of 40 watts for a full size for a full height AMC,
right.
And 30 watts for a mid size AMC. Now, the power consumption of the AMC DSP board is very much dependent on which type of DSP selected. For example, we are offering the lower-end DSP, which are the C6412 from Texas Instruments, and a fully populated AMC card with 8 DSPs will consume in about 20 to 25 watts. On the other hand, using a more powerful DSP like the C6455, which is very high performance DSP, you might reach the area of a 36 watts per an AMC DSP. So, although the standards limits the power budget, still if you have 4 AMC sites on a single ATCA carrier, you can still consume more power per an AMC on account of other AMC cards that consume less.
Okay, thanks. Heat is always, heat and power are always a problem. Howard, here are a couple questions for you specifically directed at the GE products. The first is, does GE Finuc have plans to offer the Octeon packet processor on other form factors beyond AMC?
Joe, that's a good question. Actually, we believe with the advent of next generation networks being IP based and the devices really being architected for packet processing, that we're planning on having a family of products, of COTS products, built on the Octeon architecture. So the first one, of course, is the AMC. But of course we have plans, and I'm sure you can pretty much assume what the form factors might be that we would be coming out over the next few months with some new announcements.
Okay. Here's another very detailed question that may be related to the recent scope port mappings. For you, Howard, what AMC lane mapping and fat pipes region connectivity does the Telum NPA3804 card support?
Well, the actual 3804, which, you know, that's been out for a little while now, and as folks may or may not know, there's an effort underway to have a little more of a close synergy between the AMC dot specifications and the micro TCA specification. AMC coming out previously and now micro TCA, which got ratified about a year ago, coming out. So there's an alignment going on. Initially, this card supported what's called the AMC dot 2 type 2, which meant it had two lanes of gigabit Ethernet in the control plane region, which could be used either for broad throughput or in a redundant fashion, and also called a type 4. And type 4 meant that you had 4 additional lanes, so up to 4 gigabits of full duplex traffic in the fabric region. And today we have the ability through our architecture, initially lanes 4 through 7 in the fabric region were targeted for gigabit Ethernet. Scope has now defined an architecture which allows you not only to preserve Ethernet, but moving it to lanes 8 through 11, but to keep PCI Express in the equation, too, through this recommended architecture. So what we'll be doing is migrating from the 4 through 7 in the FAT pipes over to the 8 through 11 in the next release of the product.
Yeah, I've heard some other vendors say the same thing as well. There seems to be a general agreement that the scope port mappings are the wave of the future and are going to increase volumes because that's what the FEMs and the carriers are going to want.
All right. Getting everybody behind a common lane mapping makes a lot of sense.
Sure does. Always hard, but a good idea. Here's a detailed question for you, Alon. For SURF, what hardware form factors does SURF provide its products beyond AMCs?
Well, SURF has the AMC form factor, which is suitable for ATCA, micro TCA, and even a Pico TCA, which is a thinner platform. And the very same architecture is used on a PCI Express card, meaning that you can use the same software on a PC-based server, and then migrate to a micro TCA or an ATCA platform, just seamlessly, seamless migration. I can also mention that utilizing a GE FANUC carrier blade, the AMC card can also fit into an IBM Blade Center machine, and you can also host up to 4 AMCs on a single blade that goes into an IBM Blade Center.
Yeah, I think for those in the audience that aren't aware, IBM's proprietary Blade Center and Blade Center T products, in fact, use support AMCs as the mezzanine of choice. Couple last questions, and I think we can wrap this thing up unless anyone in the audience wants to post a new question. Again, hit the little button in the lower left and post the question. Here's one for you, Howard. Is very specific. Is the GE NPA 3804 AMC compatible with other carrier ATCA carrier cards on the market?
That's a good question because, if you remember, I had the concept of product line scalability in my presentation.
Yes.
So the idea was you could, if you did start with micro TCA, then you could use that 3804 in a micro TCA configuration. But if you wanted to now bring it along to ATCA, you would need a carrier card. So one thing that is pretty interesting is we mated that MPA with a carrier card for ATCA. And what we did is we just supported the standard PCMIG 3.1 option 3 configuration. So if you look out in the market, you'll notice there's a number of other ecosystem vendors that have similar architectures. So not only could you use it with our carrier card, but if for whatever reason there was another carrier which better suited your application, as long as they followed the mapping and specification standard of PCMIG 3.1 option 3, it would be compatible. So that's another benefit of uniform lane mapping and the ecosystem vendors getting behind it.
Right, and thank you. Also let the listeners know that attendees know that as Howard said, the micro TCA standard was finished about a year ago. It was really in its first generation intended for telecom applications that were a little beneath, a little simpler and smaller than ATCA, which was also designed for central office environments. There's been so much interest in micro TCA from other industries, particularly the military, homeland security, industrial control, medical, that PCMIG has a very active group now working on what's called rugged micro TCA, which will define a couple of variants of micro TCA, one air-cooled but designed for very high temperature and shock and vibration environments, and another that's actually conduction-cooled where the AMCs will be conduction-cooled. So I suspect sometime next year you'll see that specification out in products to support it. So micro TCA has got a pretty rich future. One last question for Alon. All the flexibility you described in the DSP AMCs, is there a price that you have to pay for all this? What's the added price question?
Well, that's a tough one. Well, the price for an AMC DSP, it varies because our architecture enables switching DSP using our proprietary Surf Docker mini board, and then you can also mix and match different type of DSPs of Texas Instruments C64 DSP on the same AMC board. So the price of the board is very much dependent on the type of the DSPs you are selecting and the amount of DSP. You can use an AMC DSP with only two DSP on board. You can have 2, 4, 6, or 8 from any type. So I would say a couple of $1,000, and it's very much dependent on the DSP and the quantities.
Okay. As usual, no simple answer. Well, that pretty much goes through the list of submitted questions. You'll see on your screen now a URL for the survey. We'd ask you if you can just spend a minute or two and answer the questions in the survey. It'll help them make this thing better in the future. I want to thank everyone that took the time to attend today. I want to thank Open Systems Publishing for putting this event together, and I particularly want to thank Howard and Alon for their very interesting and educational presentations. As I said earlier, the archive for this slides and the audio will be available in a few hours at the URL that you see, the ECAST section of the Open Systems Publishing website. They're typically left up there for 12 months. There's an email there if you want to let us know what you think of these events and perhaps how to make them better in the future. We're always interested in that. So with that, I would like to thank everyone who attended in the time, and I want to thank our presenters, and I want to thank Open Systems for putting this together. So without further ado, we'll call this event closed, and good morning or good afternoon or good evening, depending upon where